the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Jesus, the joy.
To you alone
about Jesus sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
The day of Paul's trial saw the vast judgment hall filled by an eager, restless crowd that surged and pressed to the front to see and hear all that should take place.
I told you you shouldn't have come. You'll be trampled to death.
And I told you I can take care of myself. I'm just as anxious as you are to see what an old man looks like who's completely in the hands of Satan and has committed every crime in the book.
Is he supposed to look different from anyone else?
All criminals show it in their hardened face, shifty eyes. A guilty atmosphere seems to surround them.
You should know. You come here to about every trial, don't you?
Yes. Hear ye, hear ye. Nero, his majesty, emperor of Rome, ruler of the world, enters. With him are his ministers, princes, kings, and distinguished visitors from faraway places. Bend the knee.
You may arise.
Long live Nero, ruler of the world.
Long live Nero, ruler of the world.
Captain, bring in the prisoner.
Yes, sir, your majesty.
What a magnificent monarch Nero is.
He's haughty.
He has a right to be. As a young man in his early 30s, he has reached the height of earthly power, authority, and wealth.
At the lowest depths of crime and iniquity.
No one dares to question his authority. Kings lay their crowns at his feet. Millions bow in obedience to his mandates. Someday he will be worshipped as a god. Nero will be... Oh, there he is, the prisoner.
The man is old. Terribly old.
Stand here in front of the emperor.
Oh, look at Nero. He's angry. And look at the prisoner, Paul. Aged, no money, without counsel. Not a friend at his side. Yet he stands before the great Nero, with his face showing strength of character and a heart that's at peace with God.
And a smile on his lips. This is no criminal. Everything about him shouts his innocence. Yet Nero will find him guilty and sentence him to death.
My husband and emperor was impressed by the eloquent defense of the prisoner.
Yes, my dear, it was a forceful defense. But I was impressed more by his manner. I felt a desire to be kind to the aged and I am sure innocent Paul, at least for the time being. Therefore, I sent him back to prison instead of having him put to death.
Timothy, I understand you've heard from Paul.
Yes, Mark. Just yesterday, a runner brought me a letter from him.
Good. Will you read it to us in the church this coming Sabbath day?
No. Perhaps I shall read part of it sometime, but this letter is mostly for me, personally. Besides, I probably won't be here on the Sabbath day.
No. Why not?
I intend to go to Paul. I only hope I can get there in time.
In time? For what?
Paul wrote the letter after his trial before Nero.
Oh, the trial is over then. What was the verdict?
At least Paul wasn't put to death. Nero sent him back to the dungeon without making any kind of decision. But Paul feels certain that it is only a matter of time until Nero will make a decision, and the sentence will be death.
And you're hoping to get there before that happens?
Yes, Paul asked me to come. He sounded so lonely, said that Crescens and Titus had gone on missions and that Demas had deserted him, even turned his back on Christianity. So only Luke is still with Paul.
Poor Paul.
Poor Demas.
Poor Demas? Why waste pity on him?
Paul can look forward to eternal life. But unless Demas repents, what can he look forward to?
You're right. Poor Demas.
But my immediate concern is for Paul. So I must go to Rome and give Paul what comfort I can.
I'd like to accompany you, Timothy. I deserted Paul once. Although I know he's forgiven me, I'd like to talk to him again and thank him once more for his kindness to me. May I go with you?
I'm glad you want to. Paul asked that I bring you. And I could use some assistance, for Paul wants me to stop at Troas on the way and bring his coat and some books he left there.
It must be cold in that dungeon. With winter approaching, maybe we'd better take an extra blanket or two along.
Good idea. But don't let me forget the books. Paul wrote especially the books.
That sounds just like Paul, putting his beloved books before his personal comfort.
Well, let us make preparations for the journey.
What a wonderful surprise.
Hello, it's good Paul. To see you, Paul.
Did you remember my books?
Yes, they're still with our baggage.
Thank you. I'm so glad you came.
I have decided about Paul. Those Christians are appearing everywhere, even here in my own imperial household. I will not tolerate such open rebellion. Paul, as their leader, must die. Captain, take Paul to the place of execution and behead him.
Paul, prisoner of Rome, the emperor has passed sentence upon you. Being a Roman citizen, you cannot be subjected to torture. Therefore, you shall be beheaded. This is the place of execution.
Thank you, Captain. You've been very kind.
Kind? I am your executioner. Soon this blade will descend and end your life. Yet, you seem almost cheerful. Don't you hold any malice towards me or anyone?
Captain, I look not at your blade, nor this place of my death. Rather, I look to the great beyond with certainty and with joyous hope. The time of my departure from this earth is at hand, but I am ready, for I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me at that great day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing.
I have fought a good fight.
What did you say, dear?
Oh, nothing. I was just repeating what Paul said just before he died.
Paul's death bothers you, doesn't it?
I'm not sure bothers is the right word, Clester. If only I could have the same assurance that Paul had.
You mean the assurance of life after death?
Yes.
You want to be a Christian?
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad. Because I want what Paul had, too.
Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me at that great day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Yes, that's what I want. A crown of righteousness.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
I can't tell when friends are true, but God can. I can look inside of you, but God can. Make mountains snowy white, can't give blinded eyes their sight, but God can. Sometimes I wonder in his plan if he included me. And then I think how one small acorn made a big oak tree. I can't make the morning dew. I can't make the skies of blue. I can't make a dream come true, but God. But God can. Our great men show their mighty power on land, in air and sea. But science can't produce one thing that lives. But God can.
Hey, Rico, why are you sitting under this tree looking like you don't have a friend in this whole world?
Because I don't have a friend in this whole world.
What about Alita? Isn't she your friend?
She used to be, and now she thinks she's in love with Carl and doesn't have time for me.
What about Caitlin? I've seen you guys hanging out.
We're not speaking. Long story.
Dana? You once said that Dana was the perfect friend.
I was wrong.
So you're just gonna sit here being depressed?
That's my plan.
Rico, being depressed isn't good for you. It makes you sit under trees and sigh all day long. You stop doing stuff, which means you don't get any exercise. You start eating junk food like ice cream and donuts, which make you fat. You start getting bad grades in school, and soon you're a little old fat grouchy lady living in a cabin in the woods talking to raccoons.
Sounds good to me.
Come on, stop being depressed.
How?
Well, first of all, let's go for a walk. That'll get your blood flowing, and that'll take the oxygen to your brain and make you feel better. Then we'll stop by Habib's market and buy some mangoes. You love mangoes. Then we'll pass by Dana's house and throw a brick through her window.
Sam, you really know how to cheer me up. You're a pretty good friend.
Hey, I thought you didn't have any friends in this whole world.
I was wrong. I've got you.
And don't you forget it, girl. By the way, do you have any money? Mr. Habib doesn't give mangoes away, you know.
I have to buy my own mango?
Hey, it's your depression.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Zacchaeus, you come down. For I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And
boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 9, The Bullies Come Back. As soon as Sammy arrived home, he got the library book that he had just discussed with Mrs. Hsu and the others. Then he found grandmother and grandfather. They were sitting in the living room. Sammy's grandfather was reading the newspaper, and his grandmother was mending a hole in a pair of Sammy's pants. "Grandmother, Grandfather," Sammy began, "can I talk to you about something?" "Sure, Sammy," Grandfather said, putting his paper down. Sammy told his grandparents his first suspicion about a secret room in Mr. Chambers' house, and then learning about the Underground Railroad. He also told them about the trip to the Smith & Bowers architectural firm and Mr. Chambers' slip about the bathroom downstairs. Then he showed them the book he and the others had just discussed at Mrs. Hsu's house and about the lesson they learned. "People all through history have needed to hide to be safe because other people were mean to them for being different," Sammy said. He lowered his voice. "I even did that with Mr. Chambers," Sammy said. "The other kids did, too. We've always heard he was mean and scary, so we believed it, too." "It sounds like Mrs. Hsu helped you understand what you were doing," Grandfather said. "She sure did," Sammy answered, "but I'm still curious as to why a secret room would be needed in a house around here. Mrs. Hsu said that lots of the Chinese in America 100 years ago were disliked and had to be careful. She thought you and Grandmother might be able to tell me something about them and if they needed to hide out." Grandmother looked up from her sewing. A wise smile passed between her and Sammy's grandfather. Then Grandfather ran his fingers through his hair and sighed. "Well, Sammy," Grandfather began, "I don't know a whole lot about what the Chinese were treated like 100 or more years ago, but I do know how your grandmother and I were treated when we first came to America." Grandfather paused. Sammy saw his eyes take on a far-off look, like he was trying to look back at the past. "We came here in 1943. World War II was being fought, and Japan was one of the enemy countries helping Germany fight the United States. Although we weren't Japanese, Asian people do look a lot alike, so we were looked upon as the enemy, too." He looked over at Grandmother. "No one would even let us rent a nice apartment, even though we could afford it. The place we finally got was in terrible condition, and it took me forever to find a job. No one would hire me, even though I was a skilled tailor." He stopped again and exchanged another smile with Grandmother. "But times did get better as people put the war behind them. Today, most people treat us just like anybody else." "That must have been tough," Sammy said softly. "Do you think it was even worse back in the 1870s and 1880s, he asked. "I know that thousands of Chinese were in the United States during that time," Grandfather answered. "They were expert miners in China, so when gold was discovered in California in the 1840s and 1850s, many sailed to California to try their luck in the gold fields. But I'm not too clear on what happened to all of them after that. My American history isn't very good." "Thanks anyway, Grandfather," Sammy said. Sammy went to his room to do his homework. Whispers curled up next to him on the bed. He was just finishing his math assignment when Grandmother called him to dinner. He sat down with his grandfather and grandmother and said the blessing. He thought about the secret room while he ate. "May I please be excused?" Sammy asked after he finished his meal and had wiped his mouth. "Excused to go where?" Grandmother asked. "Well, the rest of the Shoebox kids are meeting after dinner for a quick softball game. We haven't played since last week." "Is your homework done?" Grandfather asked. "Yep," Sammy replied, "and I don't have any tests tomorrow." "Okay," Grandfather said, "but make sure you start home before dusk. It gets dark earlier this time of year." "Yes, Grandfather," Sammy said. He grabbed his cap and glove and was out the door in a flash. When Sammy arrived at the lot next to Mr. Chambers' house, Maria, Chris, and Jenny were already there. Soon, Mr. Teller pulled up and Willie got out. A short time later, Dee Dee rounded the corner and ran down the street to the lot. "Everyone's here," Maria said. "Let's choose up sides." A few minutes later, the game was in full swing. Sammy eyed Mr. Chambers' house to see if a window was open. He sure didn't want to hit another ball into his house. "Batter up," Chris said. He spit on his hands and gripped the bat tightly. Jenny fired a pitch. Chris hit a pop fly high into the air. It landed in Maria's glove, and she excitedly held up her glove with the ball in it. Chris walked away from the home plate and was replaced by Sammy. Sammy swung the bat a couple times and got ready for the pitch. "Hey, looky, Doug! Look who's getting ready to hit the ball! I think he'll strike out!" The Bully Brothers had returned. And looky over there, Larry said. There are the rest of the goody-goody kids. Sammy felt the anger rise in him. How can this be happening again, he wondered. Come on, he said to the others. Let's just keep playing. Jenny pitched the ball. Sammy swung and missed. One brother nudged the other. See, I told you he couldn't hit the ball, Doug said loudly. Well, maybe he didn't hear us. Maybe none of them did, Larry replied. I guess we'll just have to get closer, Doug said. Before the shoebox kids knew what was happening, the bullies had started walking toward them, and just like last week, the kids began to move away from them until they were running. They took off across the field. Maria pushed Willie's wheelchair, but it was hard to go very fast across the bumpy ground. Sammy was worried. The brothers knew about the oak roots and sidewalk now. They wouldn't be tripped up this time. Please, God, Sammy said, we need to get away from these bullies again. They continued on across the field, right toward Mr. Chambers' house. Sammy was in the lead and saw Mr. Chambers appear on the porch first. Mr. Chambers yelled something at them. Oh, no, not again, Sammy said out loud. This is just what happened last week. Nothing's changed. But then he realized Mr. Chambers was telling them to come in the house. He waved an arm to them. Maybe God is using Mr. Chambers to help us this time, Sammy thought. Come on, Sammy yelled over his shoulder to the others. Into Mr. Chambers' house. The others slowed down a little. Are you nuts? Chris asked. Stop judging by the way things look, Sammy quoted. Be fair and judge by what is really right. The kids nodded and followed Sammy up the ramp onto the porch and through the door Mr. Chambers was holding open. Then Mr. Chambers slammed the door behind them.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 9, The Secret of the Hidden Room, written by Nancy Speck, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.